Morning, church. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be reading the first four verses. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I've been thinking about house cleaning lately. I know that may be odd, so let me tell you why it's been on my mind. First of all, it's been a bit of a role distribution within my family. And Reed, since Macy was negative 2 weeks old, has always been in the home until about a year and a half ago when she left the home and went to work. And now we have three children in three different schools, and it's been fun. It's been fun. And I remember when we first got married, I would do something in the house, and I would say to my wife something like, "Hey, baby, I helped you out today. I helped you out." And at some point after that, I'd get a lecture that the gist of was basically, "This is our house, and you didn't help me out. You helped us out today." I'm pretty sure you've probably heard some of that before. But the idea of house cleaning that way is not really what's been on my mind. It's that different house cleaning, that big, like, spring cleaning, or when you've got a bunch of people coming over your house or you got a shindig and you got to do some real cleaning, not that weekly maintenance stuff. You got to get down and get real. Those piles that you've been piling up, you've got to get through those things and you got to find something to do with them. And that is the idea that I want to bring to this text this morning, is the idea of the big house cleaning. Because I believe that we can find some things in this verse that remind us of spiritually coming into our houses always and doing some cleaning. The first thing, when you do a house cleaning like that, you find some things you want to keep. You find some things you want to keep. Maybe some things that you haven't thought about in a while, but you go through the piles, if you will, or whatever it is, the distribution as you're cleaning through the house, and you find some things that are precious to you, and you want to keep these things. And I think about, for me, the first thing, I think about what gets me through any type of cleaning or yard work or whatever usually in this type of a big cleaning is what's going to happen next. Whether it be we're going to have a party at our house, which I'm probably excited about, or we've got company coming, unless it's certain side of the family, I'm probably pretty stoked about that too. And so that motivates me. And when we walk into this idea of house cleaning in Colossians, verse 1 tells us that we are risen in Christ. This is our new identity. It is who and what we are. And no matter what happens from this moment forward, as long as we have that foundation, we can always progress toward Christ. We can always make that movement toward him because we have our foundation. And we all understand how important the foundation is. And the next part I think about under this idea of finding things we keep is keeping your focus. Now this, as you can imagine, is one of the most difficult things for me when it comes to a big project like this house cleaning. Because here's basically what will happen for me. We will be in the upstairs trying to do something for the boys or Macy's room, trying to get it all really fixed. And I'll find something that belongs to me. I don't know why it's up there. Who knows? Let's just say it's a shirt. And I'll take that shirt and I'll go down to my room and I'll open my closet and I'll put my shirt in there and I think, this also needs cleaning. And whatever I was doing, I have left completely behind now. And boy, this is where I am right here. And then Anna Rita called me, and my closet will be halfway where it needs to go. And I'll go back up there, and she'll tell me to do something. And I'll get focused on that. And I want you to know that this is one of those things where balance is so important in the human life. And just as important in our spiritual walk. We need that focus. And it tells us here in verse 1 that we have to set our mind on things above. There are things that we do in this life that are non-important things that have to be done. Then there are important things that we have to do that we also get done. But there is something that we need to always remember is there are godly things also that always must maintain for us. There must be this idea of a focus of where we're going. I learned early in my ministry career to have success and not know how you got there is really no success at all. Because what we need to do is we need to be intentional in our walk. Know where you're going and not necessarily knowing the path that we're going to get there, but walking in the direction that we know we're going to go and having God walk with us and help us to get there. In chapters 3 and 4 of Colossians, I've written a list of just different things. I'm not going to show you the verses because I hope to challenge you to read this small book in the coming week. But this is just a few things in chapters 3 and 4 of Colossians that Paul reminds us to keep our focus on. First of all, a deeper knowledge of Jesus, a clean life, godly virtues, an effective prayer life, and witnessing fruitfully, or bearing fruit, if you will. The next thing I think about when I walk into this is we found some stuff we wanted to get rid of. And I don't know what it's like for you. The first thing I think about in this is Sonic or McDonald's toys. If you ever had children, it just seems like just a small toy. It's just a little old bitty toy. And they're so stoked for at least 5 minutes over getting it. You know, this is amazing. And then they somehow accumulate, and you start taking them out, and it's like bags, like just huge bags of stuff. Like, where did all this stuff come from? And did we eat, sadly, that many times at McDonald's? I don't know, but here it is. And so you find stuff as you go about cleaning that, you know what, we need to get rid of some of this stuff. And the first thing that we see Paul giving attention to, let's jump back to chapter 2 of Colossians. Let's look at Colossians 2:8. And in this verse, he immediately tells us something that we need to always make sure we're getting rid of. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. This idea of a false prophet. A false prophet. Now, spiritually speaking, we all can identify what is being spoken of in this moment. A false prophet is someone who is trying to teach us lies, teach us things that are not true. And sometimes we define this role so specifically, I think that we miss another idea of a false prophet completely. I understand the importance of good dogma and true doctrine and taking the Bible and teaching the truth. But we also need to understand that false prophets are not necessarily people who are standing on the corner with a shirt on that says, hey, I am a false prophet. The Bible's given us tests that we can weigh these people out with, but there's a different type of false prophet. I think about Peter and Jesus. And there are moments in Peter's walk where he was a false prophet to Jesus. You remember the moment, don't you? You remember the moment where Jesus explains to him he's got to go to Jerusalem and he's going to die. And Peter tells him, no, Lord, we don't need to go to Jerusalem because it's his best friend. And he doesn't want his best friend to die. We can all understand that. And Jesus looks at him in the face and says, get behind me, Satan. And sometimes we get distracted in life by people that we love. And right now, there may be some false prophets in your life that are a part of your friends or a part of your family who are announcing, you can't, he can't, you shouldn't, there's no way. And God is telling you that you should always remain on that foundation and hear his voice to ring true. And hear the people that are encouraging and exhorting and who are truly loved and are concerned about your forward movement in Christ. Don't allow these false prophets to pull you away. The next thing that he talks about here in Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17 and 21 and following, he pulls us back and he says, do not go backward into your past. And this is not a deal where it's about thinking or remembering things or moments that have happened in our past. He's like, don't go back to the old life. In verses 16 and 17, it says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or regard to religious festivals, a new moon, celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And then jump forward to verse 21. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Now, this is one of those things also that we cannot go back into this. We can't go move backward into this life that we once lived. And also, another thing here to get rid of is that idea of this worship that maybe we haven't thought about. It says here, have the appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship. Now, this is one of those things that is absolutely scary when it comes to the idea of religion. Because there are times when we take actions that we assume to be wise, but they are not the actions that God has called us for to do. We've talked about this so many times, and I know we have a lot of new faces, so I wanted to go through this right quickly, the idea of Jewish law, to bring out the idea of halakot and halakha again. There are three types of Jewish law. The first type is the written tradition, which is the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. The second is the oral tradition kept by the rabbis in two different books throughout the history of the Jewish nation. And the third is what we'll call halakot or halakha. And basically, a very easy definition of these words in the singular and plural is that of a law to interpret a law. Many times, growing up in the Churches of Christ, I bet you have heard things like, Church of Christ people do not dance. We do not mix bathe or mix swim. Well, the Bible does not talk about those things. The Bible teaches us the law is do not lust. And we, through wisdom, there's some wisdom in these things. But when we go to binding these things and these regulations, here Paul is saying, this is self-imposed worship. It may seem wise, but it is not what you have been called to do. Now, I'm not trying to give you free permission to go out and do all evil things. As I have told kids many times, when a man and woman, we call it polishing a belt buckle, when they're dancing and a man's polishing his belt buckle, a woman's thinking about certain things like her hair, her breath, and her dress, and a man's thinking about not those things. That's all I can say for you. So, yeah, there is some wisdom in those things, and beware of those things. But also sometimes what we have here is a group of people who are trying to appear religious. And God has called for us to get those things out of our life. It's not what someone else thinks about you. It's not what they see you to be. It's who you are. It's who you are in Christ and the growth that is occurring within your life toward God. The things that we need to get out of our life, we're paying attention to those things and we are removing those things. Looking into chapter 3, there is a quick list of things that we should definitely remove from our life. 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Verse 8. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Getting rid of stuff and cleaning is one of those things that we do. We got to make room for the future for us to accumulate more stuff that we can throw away in the future. But this moment here is one of those things where spiritually, after we've established our foundation, we must always be paying attention to cleaning the house. I don't need to add laws for you. I don't need to add things that you need to work in. Listen to this last list here. Tell me how you're doing. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to one another. This list is a good list to start with. There are things that probably in your life where you are still immature and God has called for maturity. Now, it's not one of those moments where you should just give up. It's where you can grow and be transformed by God in your walk with Him. This list is enough. The things that God has given us is enough, and He will work with us and move with us and mold us. Don't try to appear to be religious. Be God's child. Be the foundation, that identity that He gave you, and walk forward, knowing that walking in the light, He will continually renew you and cover the sins of your life. The last thing I think about in the idea of house cleaning is sometimes you find things that makes you remember. Now, this could be one of those good or bad moments for you, I guess. For me, I found my Bible this week. That is literally every week one of the happiest days of my life. And I know that sounds crazy, but I lose my Bible almost every week. I know I've told you many times, but it's really true. And when I go to look for it, I can't find it. And sometimes it takes me 2 or 3 days. And when I find it, I'm always so happy. I'm like, oh, He came back to me, you know. Sure, it's where I said it the last time I put it down, but I don't always remember where I said it. So it's really a good moment. This week I found it, and it made me think about my Bibles because I'd been using my New American Standard Version, which I baptized in coffee in Louisville, Kentucky, many years ago. Many, many years ago. So I've got my other Bible, which I use now. I found it, and I'm excited about that. But sometimes there are things that you find that maybe, oh, I didn't even remember we had gotten this. Or sometimes there are those moments or those mementos maybe from our past that make us think about people of our past, people that have helped us and people that have encouraged us and people who have walked in our lives. When I think about this portion of house cleaning, that sometimes we see things that make us remember. I see verses 3 and 4, and there is definitely this idea of things for us to remember. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, this is one of those things where we must see that as we live this life and as we walk and we are intentional with our steps, we can never forget not living in our past, not being pulled into our past ugly ways, not being motivated by the people in our past who were trying to encourage us to do bad things, but seeing also the hand of God in our past as we walked forward. The providential care of God is an amazing thing. We can't always define it well. We can't always in the moment put our finger on it, but say this is what God has done. Macy came home recently from a Bacon Bible study, and she talked about China and Cody talking about their life in ministry and their life with a baby and how they had been talking about they didn't know really what they were going to do now that they had a baby. I believe that is the feeling of every young couple that has ever had a child. This is going to be awesome. This is crazy. I've not slept in 2 weeks. You know, that kind of thing. Every person that's ever had a child has experienced some of this idea. And it's so amazing in our moments of crisis how many times we can look back in our life and see God's hand involved in our lives. When we didn't see a way, God provided a way. When we didn't know how we were going to do it, God sent someone, one of his children or someone else into our life to help us on the next stage of our journey. And when we get to cleaning our house and we think about all those things that we need to keep and all those things that we need to get rid of, we always need to remember, right? Because remembering is, as I've already told you, the motivation for me to continue cleaning in the first place. We got people coming to the house. I'm going to continue cleaning because I'm going to be excited and have a good time and have a clean house. And we'll worry about the destruction of the house during this time afterwards, right? It's also this moment where we can maintain in Christ because we can remember. I know I may talk about remembering a lot, but it's so important. It's not only an important idea for Ben McNally and not only an important idea for everyone in this room. It is what God has continually done. He has continually told his people, remember. And every time I talk about it, I want you to know what comes through my mind is Lion King. And it is one of those things where I wish it did not come into my mind, but it does. And I don't know if you have ever been to Disney. I have gone two times, or three, I don't really know. But I am not really interested in a human adult dressed up in a costume. I mean, that sort of makes me nervous, and I don't trust it, okay? But, you know, everybody's getting their picture taken. You don't have to touch me. It's okay. Let's just, get this shot. Let's move on about our business. The only time I've ever been excited, though, is when I saw Rafiki, because Rafiki makes me laugh. You know, he knows he's a baboon, and he swings that stick at Simba, and he ducks the second time and says, see, we learned from the past. And see, that is what God has continually told his people. With the very first song that we learned as Christians was Jesus Love Me. The very first song the Hebrew nation learns is the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. And there is one and only God. And right after that, it talks about carrying the message forward. And how do you do that? You tell your children the story of God when you lay down at night, when you get up, when you're walking down the road. You pass on the story. And this is important because you cannot tell the story unless you remember it. And not only that, you, the moment that you took on Christ as your foundation and the new identity came on you, you became a part of the story of God. And that's something you need to pass on to your children. I'm not saying that you are responsible for the destination of the soul of your children. You're not. Because at some point you have to accept this is not a responsibility that I can even have. But you have to do your best to pass on the identity that you have found, hoping and praying that they will find the same identity that you have found. I'm pretty sure that there are people in this room that need to do some house cleaning. And I'm not talking about when you get home after church, like, well, we're going to have to get this house together. I'm talking about in your life spiritually. There's some things where you need to evaluate. You need to hang on to some things. You need to get rid of some things. And you need to remember some things. This morning, church, if there is something in your house that needs to be cleaned and you want the church's help seeking forgiveness from God, we will go together to God boldly, knowing that He will forgive. If we can do anything for you this morning, church, please come now as we stand and sing.